Besorot Tovot. We have a good day today, which is soured by the falling of another two soldiers, but nonetheless a good day. The whole story of the Mishkan is about building a Mishkan, travelling with that Mishkan through the wilderness, and arriving in Eretz Yisrael. Finally, establishing a Beit Mikdash, eventually establishing a Beit Mikdash in Yerushalayim. That is the goal. And Nativot Shalom, as you know, takes the psukim at the beginning of the parsha, V'shachanti betocham, not V'shachanti betocha, as referring to the fact that we can't only be speaking, the Torah is not only speaking about one specific Beit Mikdash, but betocham, it's really about the Beit Mikdash inside each and every person. The person is expected to spend their life building a Mishkan. In that Mishkan, there has to be an Aron Kodesh. There has to be an absolute truth. That is the essence of every person, an absolute truth in the depths of that person, in the inside of that person, a kotskai truth. But it's not enough to have an aron. On the outer chambers of that person, there is a menorah, which represents some spiritual elevation. There is shulchan, which is the need to deal with our material life. And there is an Mizbeach of Ketoret, which stands in front of the two, perhaps inferring the need to be able to combine the two together, and a life in this world which is both full of spiritual achievements but challenged by the needs of our physical life. And that is the chamber that stands in front of the Aron Kodesh, the menorah, the shulchan, and the Mizbeach HaKetoret, which will only feature later on. The outside of the Mishkan is more about the earlier stages of our religious development. Even though so much is spoken about it, and whenever it comes up in class, students would like to know why it's so important to sacrifice animals, but very few people put the issue of Korbanot in its correct context, meaning very few people note that, number one, Shlomo HaMelech doesn't even mention Korbanot when he consecrates the Beit Mikdash in Melachim Aleph Perek Chet. In his prayer, Lishmoa El Arina Ve'El HaTfila, he identifies the Beit Mikdash as a place of prayer, a place of turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Korbanot are on the outside. Never, Chas V'Shalom, is an animal brought into the Heichal. Who and who cannot come into the Heichal is very, very meduyak and very strict, but never an animal could come into the Mishkan or into the Beit Mikdash. The offering of animals, I think, is there to reflect the first and foremost challenge of every human being, which is to control our animal inhibitions, to control our basic inhibitions. On the one hand, we need to eat, we need to sleep, we need to procreate, we need to be in this world. We were created to live in this world. On the other hand, over-immersion into the things of this world ultimately leads to disaster. It's not who will win, the body or the soul, it's who will lead the way, the body or the soul. And too often in our lives, it is the body that leads the way. In our younger years, it's the temptation and the desire of the body. In our later years, it's not only that temptation, it's the handicaps that the body puts on us, the limitations. We can't do what we were always able to do. Nonetheless, one way or the other, the purpose of the of the battle in this world is not for one to destroy the other, but to live in harmony and for the soul to lead the body. That's, you know, basic Ramchal. And that's a message at the beginning of the Beit Mikdash, at the entry to the Beit Mikdash. I suppose we're very stuck on it because very few people pass that level and go into the realms of Shulchan and Menorah and Mizbeach HaKetoret. And even fewer, only the Kohen Gadol gets to the Kodesh HaKodashim, gets to the Aron, inside the actual Emet. But that is our objective, that is our agenda. The agenda here is in order, and the outside of the Beit Mikdash, before we can even enter the Beit Mikdash, there has to be basic control of our bodies and direction of our bodies, not to overindulge in anything, be it eating's a big problem. There are very many other areas, sleeping, where our body simply takes control and determines the way a day would look. It determines the way things should look in our lives, and it needn't be that way. And that's the outside, but it's the outside of the Mishkan. Once you get into the Mishkan, you have that the Ner Tamid, that everlasting soul and the material, but working together with the Mizbeach HaKetoret. But where we really have to get to is to the Aron. We have to get to the Emet. We have to break into that inner chamber. When we build this Mishkan, and really it's a lifetime experience of building a Mishkan, we build this Mishkan and we travel the desert with this Mishkan, the desert of life. We travel the desert of life with this Mishkan with an aim to get to Eretz HaEmet, Eretz HaKodesh, Olam Haba, with aim to be in a stable place, Hamanucha v'Nachala, first as we enter Eretz Yisrael, and eventually to get to Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is always and will always reflect the total and utter holiness of who we are and what we are. Yerushalayim is not a geographical location. Yerushalayim is a place of spiritual climax, and that's where we want our Aron to get, and in order to get there we have to travel through the Midbar. And as Nativot Shalom says in Balotcha, when we travel through the Midbar, there are days of cloud, and when the cloud comes down on the Mishkan stays still, and when the cloud comes up from the Mishkan moves. And as our Mishkan moves through life, it very, very often is stopped by a cloud. A cloud comes down and we lose our clarity and we lose our lack of direction. We lose our direction. We have a lack of direction and we have to stop. The Mishkan stops and the Mishkan stops much more than it travels. But when the cloud comes up, when we have that clarification, we move like the wind and we travel forward. Bilvavi Mishkan Evne Lahadar Kavodo. That's what we're trying to build. Ultimately, even in a time of Galut, when there's no public national Beit Mikdash, the Beit Mikdash of the inside is never destroyed. It's always there. Our Beit Mikdash is always there. And our Aron is always there. That is where we are trying to get. That's where I'm trying to get. To the Aron Kodesh, so many battles. But the biggest battles I imagine you as well, are the inner battles, the battles of thoughts, battles of actions and battles of deeds we are helped with, right? Because we have to preserve our standing and what people see and what people hear. So very often, the way we speak and the actions that we do are not always lishma, but our thoughts, as I've said to you so many times in Kotsk, our thoughts are who we are, you know, because no one knows what I'm thinking. So I said to you, I have no ulterior motive to change my thoughts. I have no reason to change my thoughts because no one knows what I'm thinking. So I think that a person is really considered changed when he or she is no longer having those thoughts. We have to get to Kodesh HaKodashim. We have to get to the Aron. Without the Aron, the essence of the Mishkan isn't there. The essence of Mikdash doesn't exist as it should. And as you all know, that's the fundamental difference between the first Beit Mikdash and the second Beit Mikdash. The first Beit Mikdash, there was an Aron Kodesh in Kodesh HaKodashim, and in the second Beit Mikdash, there wasn't. It was buried by Yoshiyahu towards the end of the period of the first Beit Mikdash, and there wasn't an Aron Kodesh. That already tells us that the period of Beit Sheni was an entirely different reality. I also want to, I want to point out something that Rabbi Hirsch points out. I just can't remember where he points it out. He points out that if you look at the Mishkan was a pretty basic form of building, handmade, do-it-yourself as such, that could be put up and taken down at a moment's notice. Beit Rishon is exceedingly more of an upgrade on the outside, and Beit Sheni is an upgrade on Beit Rishon on the outside. But Rabbi Hirsch points out, notice that the Mishkan lasted longer than the first Beit Mikdash, and the first Beit Mikdash lasted longer than the second Beit Mikdash. A building is not defined by how it looks on the outside. The building is defined by what's going on the inside. And that's the Aron Kodesh, right? The Zahav has to be on the inside, not just on the outside, not just for people to see, but it has to be on the inside, and it has to be the same Tocho Kevaro. And therefore, probably the best or the most effective binyan that we ever made was the Mishkan, even though in Sotheby's it would have valued less because it wasn't there wasn't as much money and pe'er spent on the Mishkan. But it was the best because it was the holiest. What defines us, ladies, is not what's on the outside. What defines us is what's on the inside. We are living in a world of a lot of superficialities, of a lot of externalities. Everything is judged by what it appears to be on the outside. And as we discover every single day, it really isn't about what's on the outside. It's about what's on the inside. And we have to be, on this day, grateful that we have such a courageous and wonderful army. None of us have the foggiest idea of how difficult it is at this stage, after so many days, to penetrate a place where hostages are being held and bring them out, the amount of risk of life that is involved. And don't just think only two is two. It's two more, and Be'ezrat Hashem, there'll be more, and we have to give tov lahodot l'Hashem ulezamer shimcha elyon, la'agid baboker chastecha ve'emunatcha ba'leilot, the siyata d'shmaya here, that we were able to do this, and please God, we should do this time and time again until all the chatofim are home. Have a good day.